pastors for taking over and just managing the church beautifully in our absence. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the elders. Guys, we're great, great, great. I love it. I love it. Love it. So I see Aaron is clapping. Aaron was the last one to stop clapping. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate the love. My man, my man. So just for a few moments, if you will, everybody, just turn to this familiar book, the book of Genesis. We're just going to do a little summary. I'll start it this Sunday, and I'll finish it during the month of August. But I just want to talk about Genesis as a review, and I want to just concentrate today just on Joseph and how he forgave his brothers for what they did to him, which was horrible. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14 says, after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers, and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. By the way, his father's name was Jacob. In verse 15 of Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we did to him? And by the way, what the wrong they did to him is, there were 12 brothers, 10 of them conspired to put the one brother to death. They were going to kill him. They tried to kill him. One brother stood up and stopped it. But just imagine murder, homicide of your brother for just being a good kid. He wasn't, you know, a bad kid. I mean, he could have been considered a snitch, but it wasn't his doing. But he was just a guy that God had blessed. And as a result, his brothers wanted to kill him. I don't know. I just don't understand how mad you can get at a person where you just want to kill him. Not beat them up, not embarrass them, not take their lunch money, just kill them outright. And so the Bible says that in verse 16 of Genesis 50, so they sent a message to their brother Joseph saying, your father charged before he died saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers came and fell down before him in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 50 and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? I just think that part is just so rich there. I just have to pause for a second. He said in verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Okay, so let me just say a couple things about reconciliation and forgiveness. Joseph's brothers came and asked for forgiveness. Let me just say this to you. If you're involved in a conflict with anybody, it doesn't have to be a brother, a sibling, a spouse, a parent, it doesn't have to be anybody. In your blood family, in your biological family. It can be anybody, period, outside your family. When you're involved in a conflict and you're not speaking and the air is not clean and clear between you and someone else, the Bible says it's both of your responsibilities to make it right. It's not incumbent upon the victim. It's not incumbent upon the guilty party. It's not incumbent upon the perpetrator. If you know something is wrong as a believer, those of us who call ourselves Christians, those of us who call ourselves believers, it is our responsibility to initiate reconciliation. You can say, I'm sorry. You can say, I forgive you. You can say, I apologize. But whatever it takes, all of us, everybody in this room, is responsible for starting that dialogue. That's what the Bible says. It's not an incumbent upon the person that started it. We always say, well, he started it, right? That's the first thing out of our mouths. We're pointing a finger. We're assigning blame. Bible says, no, it's not about blame. It's not about guilt. It's not about who started it. It's not about who picked the fight. It's not about who stole your lunch money. It is incumbent upon all of us. It's our job. If you can hear me this morning on Zoom or in the room, that rhymed. I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that again. Somebody write that down. But if you hear me, you're responsible for making amends. Amen? And let me tell you something that came to me while I was on vacation. This is why vacation is good. I'm going to start taking them more often. But no, just kidding. One thing that really blew me away, I started looking at this timeline. Watch this. With Joseph and the brothers and Jacob, the father. Listen to this. When the father came to Egypt, to be with his son, Joseph, who had been estranged from all these years because he was in slavery and sold and abandoned. The father, Jacob, was 130 years old. He was a buck 30. And I'm not talking about semi-years or six-month years or Jewish years or Greek years. These are real solar years, 24-hour days. When he died, he was 147. Here's what I realized. For 17 years, listen to this. For 17 years, these boys, these brothers, lived in absolute fear, panic, undecisiveness, just basically afraid of what was gonna happen the day their father died. They felt, the boys, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, all those guys, maybe with the exception of Benjamin, Judah included, all of those guys felt like when our father Jacob, who was named Israel, when he dies, Joseph, who is now second in command in Egypt, vice president, he is going to kill us and our kids slowly and torturously for what we did to him. And they lived in this bondage. Are you all with me? I'm going to be short. Just hang with me. Don't get sleepy. Hang with me for about 5 more minutes. Well, make it 6 more minutes. No, give me 7 more minutes, I promise. But listen, these guys lived in absolute horror and torture for 17 years, waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for revenge to be extracted on them, to be exacted on them, actually, waiting for revenge by Joseph to them. Imagine living like that, having your life robbed of 17 years. No peace of mind, no thoughts of the future, thinking that you have basically a target, a bullseye on your back, that your life expectancy was about, well, until your father died, and they didn't know when that would be, but hey, he's a buck 30, he ain't gonna live forever. So they knew Joseph's revenge was imminent. And they lived under that cloud. They lived in that fear. The reason I think it's important is that so many of us are living our lives today, no doubt some of you maybe, in a sense of fear, apprehension. You're living beneath your privileges. You're living at a place that's not God's best, either because of unforgiveness or because of disbelief that you've been forgiven. And so you're not enjoying the peace, the freedom, the unfettered joy, the sheer happiness that comes with living and operating and walking and thinking and believing that you are free, free of sin from God, and you have lived in peace and free of guilt with your brother. There is no price. That is priceless. Do you all hear me? That is priceless. That peace of mind, that lack of stress, that unburdening that you could be walking in right now, but you're either holding a grudge against somebody or you haven't released someone of their imposition on you. You haven't released them and you haven't released yourself. Some of us have been forgiven, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. Some of us have been delivered, but we're still walking in bondage. Some of us have been released of any guilt or any wrongdoing by others and by the Lord, but we're living under a cloud. We're living in chains and shackles. And I just think about these boys, 17 years, even though Joseph had showed them every scintilla of kindness. He had helped them. He had fed them. He had housed them. He had forgiven them. He could have, if he wanted to do something bad, he didn't need to wait for Jacob to die. He was second in control in the world's most powerful nation at the time, Egypt. He could have had them thrown in shackles in prison the way he was. He could have had the boys thrown in slavery the way they did him. If he wanted to get his power in the flesh, if he wanted to get revenge, if he wanted to be vindictive, he had many opportunities and Jacob couldn't have stopped him. What are you going to do at 130? Shake his cane at him? I mean, he had no power. I mean, obviously Joseph respected his father and wasn't going to disgrace his memory. But the fact of the matter is that he was basically a dictator. He had no restraints other than to Pharaoh. And he was married to Pharaoh's daughter. So basically he was in charge. Joseph was. I thought this was an important point because forgiveness and unforgiveness, I think, is a plague of our generation. We live in a time where people are quick to say, don't judge me. Don't condemn me. No one wants to be under conviction. Now, I love what asks, in closing, here's a couple of scriptures that I think address this beautiful thing. And by the way, before I read the scriptures, let me just say this about Joseph. Joseph said, here, you know, we hear people say, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget this. Here's what forgive and forget means. Joseph says, not only do I forgive you, I'm going to treat you kindly and your kids and your grandkids kindly. That's what forgiving and forgetting is. It's not only releasing the person from their offense to you, but then not conducting yourselves or acting like you're still holding a grudge and you're still trying to get your revenge. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That's a quote from the Old Testament. Paul reiterates it in the New Testament, but that's a quote that God reminds us in both Testaments. Vengeance is God's job. That's why Joseph said, wait a minute, guys, wait. Why are you guys weeping? Why are you guys bowing down to me? Have you guys been afraid of me for nearly two decades? Have you guys been living in abject fear and worry and stress that I was going to get you back? Although you deserved it. Remember what he said in verse 20. He said, you did sin against me. Let's be clear. What you did was just cold. I mean, I'm your blood brother. You're going to try to kill me. Then when one of the brothers stepped up and I didn't get killed, you threw me in a pit to die. You sold me into slavery and lied to my father and said I got killed by a wild animal. That's low, man. Now you're dragging my father into your mess. So all these lives are ruined for the time being. And so they come back and Joseph forgives them and they still live in fear. I think one of the beautiful things I love about this passage with Joseph is that he puts his money where his mouth is. He said, not only do I forgive you, I'm going to show up by loving you, loving your kids, protecting you, protecting your kids. When you really forgive a person, you don't then go around treating them like they have the plague. You don't go after their kids. You don't go after their family. You don't talk about them behind their back and get your revenge, you know, through proxy. When you really, really forgive a person, you let it go. Amen? Amen? You guys get that? If you don't hear anything else I said, please walk out of here knowing Pastor Will talked about true forgiveness. And I need to make things right with my brother and sister, with my cousin, my nephew, my neighbor, my classmate, my work partner, my coworker. I want to make things right because I don't want to live my life in bondage and unforgiveness and holding something over someone else's head, and I don't want anything held over my head. Amen? So Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good, not just to help you, but to save many people alive. God's will be done. David said it best in Psalms 51, verse 4. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. By the way, even when you offend me, even when you offend your brother and sister, all sin is directly against God. We are indirectly recipients of that, but ultimately, we have no ability to extract sin. We have no ability to be sovereign or have a domain that says you can't violate. All sin is actually against God. Even if we're the direct victims, it's still against God. And David understood that. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband killed. But the real sin in that whole affair, that whole horrible situation of murder and adultery was, and cover up, by the way, cover up, don't forget that conspiracy in there. All of that happened with David and Bathsheba was actually a sin against God. And David recognized it. You can't be forgiven, ladies and gentlemen, as I close. You can't get that guilt and that condemnation out of your life and off of your head until you confess it to God. Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. If you want God to forgive you, then you got to forgive your brother and sister. You got to get forgiveness from the people you see every day. Amen? Please know that. Please don't carry grudges to the grave. Don't carry burdens to the grave. Don't let 17 years of your life or more be eaten up by locusts and cankerworm and palmer worm and insects and pestilence because you haven't really made amends with your brother and sister. Amen? Joseph went to sleep and slept like a baby every night. But I bet you those other dudes didn't. They were just listening. Is dad still breathing? Don't let him die. If he put him on life support, whatever you got to do, prop him up like Weekend at Bernie's if you need to.
Amen. Amen.
You can't let dad die because we don't know what Joseph's going to do. But they should have known. Amen. Romans 12, 17 in closing says, never pay back evil for evil, the New American Standard. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of God. If possible, so far as it depends on you, the Bible says, be at peace with all men in verse 18. Never take your own revenge. Revenge is mine. Jesus says here at the end, the word of the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Amen. One more verse and I'll let you go. I love this verse because I think this passage kind of summarizes what God's plan is. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, and this is one thing we should do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Don't go digging up dirt from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Don't go digging up dirt from five decades ago if you're 50. Don't do it. Let it go. The past is the past. Paul said, I'm gonna forget everything that's behind me. It's over. It's done. I can't go back and undo it, redo it, overdo it, not do it. It's done. It's said. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. When I did it, I was wrong. I ask for your forgiveness. That's really all you can do. But when you do that, you release yourself and you release that person. They may not always accept your entreaty of forgiveness. You have no guarantee that the other person is going to be reciprocal to your request. They don't have to reciprocate. They might be saying, no, what you did is unforgivable. I'm not over this yet. I hear people say, I can't let that go. I can't get past that. Well, you got to get past it. Because if you don't, then God doesn't get past your sins. And I tell you, I need God's forgiveness every day. Staying mad at y'all ain't worth being in God's bad grace. Staying mad at y'all ain't worth God turning his head from me because I have unforgiveness in my life. You know what he says in Isaiah 55? He says that his hand is not shortened that he can't save, nor is his ear heavy that he can't hear. But your sins, he says, your sins have separated from you and your God. I think it's Isaiah 55. It might be Isaiah 59, but it's in that territory. He says, your sins have separated me from you. We need God's forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord. There's so many more verses I have that I'd like to share, but they're in the notes that can be read. I ask, Lord, that you would just help us with this fundamental principle that Joseph seemed to have mastered in spite of his being forgotten by the butler and the baker, in spite of him being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and being thrown in prison by Potiphar, in spite of him being rejected by his brothers, even his parents once chiding him for a dream that he had, in spite of all of the things he went through, Lord, you taught him how to forgive. You taught him how to reconcile, how to demonstrate compassion and forgiveness and tenderness. Lord, please teach us that. Help us to learn that. Help us to get along and know, Lord, that we all need your forgiveness. Therefore, we need to show forgiveness. What a lesson of all the great things we could learn from Joseph's life, who I believe was a type and shadow of you, Lord Jesus. This thing is just so precious to learn, that tenderness, that willingness, that spirit of meekness that says, I forgive you. Will you forgive me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anybody have... Amen.